Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua, the great leader of the children of Israel, chosen by the Lord to succeed Moses, was about to die. He called together all the tribes of Israel in the valley of Shechem. There he spoke to them in the name of the Lord, challenging them with the question, would they or would they not continue to follow the Lord? These words are just as much of a challenge to us today. Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. In the spiritual house of our minds, whom do we serve? What kind of home do we want for ourselves and for our family? What is our family going to stand for in the neighborhood, in our neighborhood and community? Joshua appointed the Valley of Shechem as the venue for his last meeting with Israel because of its history. When the tribes first entered Canaan, they had enacted a solemn ritual there prescribed by the Lord through Moses. Half the tribes stood on Mount Ebal to the north, facing the other half standing on Mount Gerizim to the south, across a natural amphitheater at Shechem. Then the Levites, the priests, in the middle of the valley, read in a loud voice from the book of the law all the curses which would come upon them if they disobeyed the Lord. After each one, the tribes on Mount Ebal said, "Amen, it is true." Then the Levites read out the blessings which the Lord promised if they followed him faithfully. After each one, the tribes on Mount Gerizim said, "Amen, it is true." So the two alternatives, to turn away from the Lord to destruction or to follow him to prosperity, were dramatically laid before the people in Shechem, the Valley of Decision. All the Lord's blessings on the children of Israel apply to us, too, in the spiritual sense. We are born just as ignorant of the Lord and inclined to idolatry as Abraham and his father Terah. But the Lord calls us and leads us to a vision of heaven, the promised land. As the Lord blessed Abraham with many descendants and with great wealth, so the Lord blesses us with heavenly states of innocence and peace and charity, especially in infancy and childhood. He teaches us delightful stories and valuable lessons in his word. Parents have a wonderful opportunity to help the Lord establish good states and true values with their children that will enrich their lives to eternity. In turn, through the innocence of the little children in our community and in our families, the Lord stirs again the innocent states with all of us who are looking to him. Later in our lives, the Lord gradually leads us out of a slavish craving for selfish and worldly things, just as he led the Israelites out of Egyptian slavery. By his mighty power, he performs miracles in our lives, helping us rise above merely worldly goals to establish heavenly goals for ourselves. He gives us power to resist attacks from evil spirits and begin to drive them out of our lives, as Joshua led Israel to conquer and take control of Canaan. Joshua summarized the Lord's blessings in these words of the Lord, "I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you did not build, and you dwell in them. You eat of the vineyards and olive groves which you did not plant. Now, therefore, fear the Lord, serve him in integrity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord." Similarly, when we think of all the Lord has done and is doing for us, giving us the ability to do useful work, giving us our husband or wife, our children, and how he is always guiding us away from evil toward eternal life, how can we serve anyone or anything but the Lord? Each person reaching adulthood has to make his or her own choice, and we continue to make our choice all through life. So Joshua said, "And if it seems evil to you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell." Abraham's father Terah worshipped idols. The idolatry of Terah and of the Amorite nations of Canaan and of the Egyptians stand for three kinds of internal idolatry, the heavenly doctrine teaches us. The first comes from love of self. This idolatry involves the worship of power, of honor, and of social class. This is what will make us happy. The second comes from love of the world. It is coveting wealth, material goods, and a high standard of living. This is what will make us happy. And the third kind of idolatry is an undisciplined pursuit of sensual pleasures. People who worship these idols have no other goals, for as we read, they do not know or care about eternal life. They even deny it in their hearts. Now, we all have a weakness for such idolatries. In spite of all the Lord's blessings, we want it both ways. When we have to bring our high hopes and ideals down to actual life, we begin to think that maybe we can selfishly indulge in controlling others and set our hearts on worldly pleasures while serving the Lord too. We may suppose we can put off facing the choice whether or not to serve the Lord. I will serve the Lord once I'm financially secure, or after I've had some fun, or when I'm not so tired, or when I'm retired, just not right now. But our present choices are always making it either easier or harder to serve the Lord later. We are making our choice all the time. The people, when Joshua laid this choice before them, immediately answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake Yehovah to serve other gods." But Joshua said, "You cannot serve Yehovah, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God." Joshua warned them that if they chose Yehovah and then turned away from serving him, Yehovah would turn and consume them after he had done them good. If we acknowledge the Lord in his second coming and accept that we must follow him by living according to the heavenly doctrine, but then later we pervert or reject what we have learned, it is worse for us than if we never acknowledged the Lord at all. As far as we deliberately disobey the Lord, we ruin his dwelling place within us. Perhaps then it's dangerous for a person to become a new church Christian. Is it true that we cannot serve the Lord, as Joshua said? In one sense it is. The people in this story stand for the thoughts and feelings of the not yet regenerate natural man, the worldly plane of our minds. To the extent that we follow the inclinations of our natural man, we cannot serve the Lord. The story of the days of the judges who followed Joshua illustrate how things are. Over and over, the people turned away from Yehovah to idolatry and were oppressed and miserable until they were ready to turn back to Yehovah. The Lord is able to lead us in the right direction in spite of a lot of failings and detours. The key is the overall direction, intention, and effort of our lives. But there come times, not necessarily in dramatic crises, when we really have to choose whether to follow the leanings of our natural inclinations or the voice of conscience. In the story, Joshua represents conscience, while the people represent natural inclinations, which at times pull us in opposite directions, and we have to choose. We read in our lesson, a man who is being regenerated is at last so far reduced by repeated alternations of desolation and of sustenance that he no longer wills to be his own, but the Lord's. Now, as much as possible, the evil spirits cloud and blur the issues. They don't want us to be roused to fight spiritually for our own spiritual life. But there are times when we have to be prepared to take a stand, to set ourselves apart from the clamoring of our natural inclinations. For example, at work, there could be pressure to cut corners, to go along with a low morale and lack of commitment to doing one's work honorably, justly, and faithfully, lest one come across as better than others, or on the side of management instead of on the side of the workers. It can seem a lot easier to serve the idol of just getting by, cutting corners ourselves, than by keeping our commitment to doing our best work. To take another example, at work, men and women, some of them married, mix every day and work together. They may have working lunches together. They may spend more time together and fresher, more alert time than they do with their spouses. They may enjoy each other's company and respect each other's contributions. There is a line that is too easy to slip over to where the relationship begins to become romantic. Our culture is in such darkness about the value of marriage and the relationship between home and work outside the home. It's times like these when we need to hear the strong words of Joshua to the people. And if it seems evil to you to serve Yehovah, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve Yehovah. We need to be willing to set ourselves apart from what our natural man wants to do, what others in the workplace may be doing, or what others on our street may choose. We all know, or we should know, that our efforts to follow the Lord break down in certain ways nearly every day. We lose our temper with our children, our spouse, or our workers. We drink too much, we curse, we tell some lies, we let our eyes and our minds wander. We boss other people around, and so on. But if we repent of evils as we become aware of them and strive to serve the Lord in integrity and in truth with all our heart and soul and strength, then gradually the Lord removes weak attitudes and evil interests to the peripheries of our minds. In this spirit, then, we can keep on responding to Joshua, no, but we will serve Yehovah. We will keep following him as closely as we can. Joshua said, you are witnesses against yourselves that you have chosen Yehovah for yourselves to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. We can appoint our conscience as a witness over our actions and as an examiner of our intentions, to bring us to trial when the natural man in us goes astray. We want to be reminded that we have made a covenant with the Lord to serve him and obey him. We want to be alerted when we are turning away from him and from his blessings, just as we want to hurt if we lean against a hot stove. When a person acts as a witness against himself in spirit, he or she is maturing and is opening up to receive real, lasting blessings from the Lord. Whom then will we serve? Do we believe that the Lord is the only one who can secure our happiness in this life and forever? That a commitment to him is the only foundation for a useful, happy working life and marriage? What kind of home do we want to live in and provide for our children? What kind of influence do we want to be in our community? What are we willing to give up to have this kind of home? How do we respond to Joshua's challenge? But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's answer the way the people did that day. Yehovah our God, we will serve, and his voice we will obey. Amen. And now to the one only God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.